Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Weekly News Live. We've almost made it through another year. We're nearly there, gents. Not quite, but we're going to be having a good old look at 2023 and some of the predictions that we made at the start of the year. Nearly Christmas. I'm going to be driving home sort of like Chris Rea straight after this stream, actually. Heading back to Somerset. So Connor and Nico, why don't you tell our lovely viewers what your plans are for Christmas, because I'm sure they'll want to send you some peace and good tidings.
Well, Jake, it's all very well for you swanning off on the 14th of December, but some of us have to keep our viewers and our readers engaged for the next week and a half. So I shall be working on news for the next week. But after that, I'm going to a wonderful, beautiful town. It's quite a mystical place. It's very romantic. It's called Huddersfield in West Yorkshire, which is where I grew up. And I'm going to go there and see my mum and everybody else and have Christmas knees up and drink some mimosas for breakfast and beer for lunch. Hi, Bogdan. Welcome to the stream. Merry Christmas. Yeah, so lots to look forward to, really. I'm ready for a break, actually, I must say. We've dragged ourselves through this year by the skin of our teeth. We've been building our editorial team and getting stronger and stronger, but I think there's a well-deserved rest coming for us all. Nico, what about yourself?
So, first of all, hello and welcome each and everybody to the most famous iGaming stream on the planet. Cutting things short. Right, a little bit of self-advertisement. Yeah, Bogdan, Merry Christmas to you as well. So what I'm actually doing is I'm also getting back home, so to the small village where I grew up, which will be a lot of fun, especially as I will be me, and then, of course, spending time, Christmas time with the family and friends. But the most interesting thing will be, and this occurs each and every year, it's a self kind of repetition, is I will meet all the boys and girls which I passed my A-levels with. So they are in regular jobs, like being a consultant or lawyer or whatever. And I'm always facing the same questions. Hey, Nico, are you still in this gambling thing? So how do you work with that one? How do you kind of deal with it that you only rely on all the addicts spending money? So it's always fun. It's the best conversation ever. So this will be a lot of fun as well.
Well, I always get the same thing, Nico. People say, who is it you work for? Paddy Power? I say, no, not exactly. No. I work in the events and media space, but it's always very difficult to explain, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. But I've had the pleasure this week of going back over some old footage that we recorded in January for our 2023 predictions, and I must say we were all looking a lot more youthful, and I think all of us were clean shaven and kind of ready and raring to go, and December's drawn in and we're all looking a bit like winter hermits, I think, at the moment. So Nico, I think you said you're off to sunnier climes after Christmas, and I think that's a very good idea indeed.
Yeah, getting some vitamin D inside the system. So all good.
Good man. We'll come on to those predictions in a second. And we're also going to be speaking about Entain this week after their chief executive resigned. But first of all, a big hello and welcome to everybody tuning in. Please do provide some comments for us today. Hello to you, Alina, who's commented there, and to Bogdan, who we've touched on already. And a big thank you to our sponsors, Playson and Bombay Group.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say possibly Evelina. Hi, Evelina.
Evelina, apologies. Nico, before all that, do you want to kick us off with 10 in 5?
Yeah, and as always, and this is also a rule, I will always make it in the 5 minutes, so bear with me. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to start each and everybody of us off. So DAZN seeks a $1 billion to continue growth across multiple sports and regions. Bloomberg revealed that DAZN officials have already held conversation with potential investors in order to raise capital as part of a potential investment round with a $1 billion US dollar ballpark figure being revealed by an undisclosed source. So this comes as the company is due to release its 2023 financial results, which are expected to reveal narrow losses compared to that of the year prior. And last but not least, it is unclear whether the company will use the potential $1 billion to invest, as they have been missing out on the domestic rights for the Premier League and the upcoming NBA broadcast deal expected to be highly competitive. So fingers crossed, and we will see how they will spend the $1 billion. Sportradar scores a global tennis data and streaming deal with ATP. Sportradar has agreed on a global data and streaming rights deal with Tennis Data Innovations, TDI, a joint venture vehicle of the Association of Tennis Professionals, ATP, and ATP Media. The multi-year deal grants Sportradar data and streaming rights for the betting, as well as media rights. The agreement covers all tennis events on both the ATP Tour and ATP Challenger Tour. So, shout out, if you want to keep your sports betting offer, including tennis, I'm pretty sure Sportradar is one of your sources, if not the only one. New gambling bill aims to outlaw online and parallel betting in Macau. Macau's government has drafted a new legislative bill featuring an explicit ban on online betting, as well as harsher penalties for those conducting illegal gambling activities. The bill also aims to explicitly define and outlaw the practice of so-called parallel betting or side betting. And we have one expert on of this definition on the stream, and I'm pretty sure that Connor will kick us off later. So, heading over to Brazil, as the Senate approves regulation on online sports betting and casinos are left out of the proposal. After several delays, the Brazilian Senate has approved the basic text of Bill 3626, which sets out the rules for the launch of sports betting on the national level, and the Senate upheld the appeal of the Liberal Senator Carlos Portinho to remove online casino from the bill. So sports betting gotta go, iGaming or online casino not going to work as of now in Brazil, but congrats. ESPN bet captures a 6% of Maryland market during their opening months. It is first month of operation in Maryland. The rebrand app did nab a 6.2 of monthly handle with 33.3 million in wagers. So, however, that performance did not come with heavy promotional spending, as a total of $13 million of these 33.3 million came from the form of promo credit. So with so much potential credit, the sportsbook posted a zero in taxable revenue for the month, despite ESPN betting generating 4.3 million GGR, and they placed themselves as fourth, just behind BetMGM. New York mobile sports wagering handle exceeds $2 billion for consecutive months. The New York Gaming Commission has reported its mobile sports wagering figures for November, recording its highest ever figure for mobile sports wagering handle, valued at $2.1 billion. This comes after the Empire State already became the first ever state in the U.S. to surpass the $2 billion handle mark in October, meaning the total mobile sports wagering handle in New York and New York alone for the current fiscal year has risen above $12 billion. And just to give you an comparison, Germany, the all over country of Germany, has a sports wagering handle of 8.59 billion euros. So New York, just the state of New York, outperforms the whole country of Germany as of now by 33%. And this just amplifies what kind of numbers we are dealing in the US. Another story. US Ethics Committee chair under fire for evolution stock purchase. So the chair of the US House Committee on Ethics has come under fire for purchasing stock in live casino supplier Evolution. Michael Guest, that's the name, has faced criticism on social media on an online news outlet for the purchase, which he made alongside several other tech stocks, including Uber and Dynatrace. All stock purchases were relatively small transactions, overall between $1,000 and $5,000. But he's under fire. Then two more to go, as DraftKings are about to defend action lawsuit from the big tobacco litigator, the US law professor who masterminded the litigation strategy that led to a $206 billion settlement from big tobacco back in the 80s, is backing a class action lawsuit against sports betting operator DraftKings over an unfair and deceptive promotional offer. So, big news will be coming there as well. Then another one, Seminole Tribe will file an amicus brief in Florida betting case. The Seminole Tribe of Florida will file an amicus brief in support of Ron DeSantis in the state Supreme Court. The case concerns the Seminole Tribe's compact with the state of Florida and whether the governor and legislature had the power to approve it. And last but not least, FanDuel lobbied to remove AML requirements in New York. And always remember, see even more information about this. I just need to stop it here, just to make it within my 5 minutes time.
Thank you very much, Nico, and apologies for the few technical difficulties at the end there. I think you're back with us now, Nico. But yeah, amazing roundup of headlines. Great to see so many Next.io stories in there as well, many of which were written by our new reporter, Zach, who's been on fire for the last few weeks and I think made his weekly news debut last week with you, Connor.
That's right. Yeah, we had a nice little discussion, Zach and myself. And as you say, he's been doing a huge amount of work behind the scenes. So there is lots and lots of content up on the Next.io website at the moment. It's sometimes December, you get to this point, it's nearly Christmas and everyone starts to kind of quieten down a bit and you start and think there's not that much news happening. Well, no such problem this year, because it's been an absolutely hectic December, really. There's loads going on still.
That's right. Nico, do you think your New Year's resolution will be to actually finish within the 5 minutes?
Of course.
There's hope for 2024, is there?
There's always hope. There's always hope.
I love it. I want to say thank you to you two, first of all, for putting yourselves on the line at the beginning of the year when I asked you for some predictions, and we're going to take a look back at those now. First of all, do either of you remember what you predicted? I'm not asking you to tell me, but do you remember?
I think I changed my mind about four times during the course of making my prediction. I think at first it was all about Fnatic, which was kind of big news at the back end of last year. Fnatic kind of making its statement of intent on the sports betting industry. It hadn't really made any big moves at that point, but they were talking about it a lot, getting into sports betting. And I think I started by saying basically that they were going to crash and burn and just spend loads of money and it was going to go nowhere. And then I was like, oh, but hang on a second. They have got that big customer database of all those customers. So I think in the end, I said something like, if they approach the market in a significantly different way from other operators, then they had a chance, which was quite, I was kind of hedging my bets there a little bit.
Yeah, I remember teasing you at the time for sitting on the fence, but I had the pleasure of watching it back this morning, and you basically did just have a 10-minute argument with yourself and managed to persuade yourself otherwise. But you're right, the language used at the beginning, Fnatic in the US is going to crash and burn and is gearing up for a living nightmare. That was my favorite quote, personally. Yeah, I don't know if that's quite materialized, but you did adjust your point of view, Connor, so I'll give you that. Have you had a chance to look into what Fanatics has done in the US this year? How do you think you did if you were to kind of mark yourself out of 10?
I think my prediction was kind of on the money. I also think that it's quite frankly too early to see. I don't think we'll actually know whether I was right until 2026. That's my guess now, because it takes a few years. We've got a bit of, all these other competitors have had such a head start for so many years. So I'm not sure exactly. But what I would say with regards to my prediction is that I think Fanatics were watching. I think they heard what I had to say. And they said, OK, good advice, Connor. We're going to do things a little bit differently. And I think in a couple of ways, they definitely have. So if you remember, back in January 2023, Fanatics confirmed that its sports betting product would be built on a Melco source code. And then obviously we had a bit of a change of heart and everything. And then they ended up buying PointsBet. So I think the first thing that they did differently was to acquire PointsBet. And what that meant was they didn't need to go into every individual state one by one in a kind of piecemeal, gradual way. They kind of immediately opened themselves up to market access in 14 states and some really important ones: New York, Ohio, Maryland, Massachusetts, Colorado, New Jersey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all the big players. And, you know, that was a pretty smart move, I think. There was a lot of fun around that with DraftKings putting in a counter offer and this kind of little bidding war we had. So they ended up paying a bit more than what they'd initially wanted to. So that was the first thing they did differently. And then the second thing that they did differently, which is what we'd been talking about, was using its existing business, obviously, to market its sports betting business. And they did do that. So their initial promo offer, which was alongside the NFL opening weekend in September, was they started to offer a free sports jersey to anyone placing a $50 bet. So that was like kind of a loss leader for them, I think, because usually those jerseys would be worth like $100 or $150. But they were giving them away free for anyone who was betting $50. So they were obviously very keen to like generate some great value for customers. And it did seem to kind of have an initial impact. So on the NFL opening weekend, Fanatics Sportsbook got more than 50,000 app downloads in the US, according to data from Eilers and Krajicek Gaming, our good friends and partners. And that gave them a 9% share of downloads among the top apps. So still way behind FanDuel and DraftKings and BetMGM. But they were ahead of Caesars, Bet365 and Barstool Sportsbook. So they kind of put themselves into the top five category there with that move, which is pretty smart. But the app downloads dropped off again in October. And they're, you know, obviously the kind of the hype around that kind of fell away. So at this point, Jake, to kind of round this up, they're still rebranding some of the PointsBet operations. They're still launching in new states and so on. So there's still a lot of runway for Fanatics. They've still got plenty of cash on hand, I'm sure. But I think my prediction kind of stands. I think when you look at the US market, it's like some big brand coming into the market and saying, we're going to launch a new brand of cola. We think we can do it better than Coke and Pepsi, and we're gonna do our best no matter what it costs. And if we just invest enough in the next 5 years, then eventually we'll have a new profitable ESPN cola or whatever it might be. But it's got that kind of duopoly vibe between FanDuel and DraftKings that's so strong, and they're obviously so embedded in the hearts and minds of the American betting public that it remains a huge risk. At this point, would I stand by my original prediction that they're facing a living nightmare? Yes.
Living nightmare. Okay, brilliant.
I wouldn't want to. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't have the confidence to burn through that much.
I love that you're sticking with that. I love it. But no, I appreciate the little roundup there, Connor. That is very helpful for our viewers. And I'm going to be asking you guys again early next year for some more predictions. So, Connor, maybe bear in mind that that one might not come to fruition for another 4 years, and think a bit more short term next time, because I think we all made similar predictions to that, to be fair.
I have a prediction that I've thought about today, but maybe
don't give it away now.
I've got a big prediction.
Okay, good. Will you remember it next year? No. All right, we'll write it down somewhere. Right, we'll go on to my prediction. Because Nico, I want to end on yours for a very specific reason. Mine wasn't particularly interesting, to be fair, and was kind of, you know, I didn't want to stick my neck out like you did with visions of burning nightmares and all that sort of thing. So I said that I think regulators were going to clamp down hard on cryptocurrency, and that that was going to have sort of knock-on effects for the gambling sector. I think we've seen that to a degree. Looking back at our coverage this year, I think the EU has approved the kind of its first ever regulatory framework on crypto regulation. So that was really significant. I think that happened in April. And then we've had US financial regulators putting the likes of FTX and obviously Binance latterly in its crosshairs. And it's not been getting any easier at all for those crypto exchange bosses. And the FBI, I think, is taking a particularly strong interest following the kind of cybersecurity breaches we've seen as well, and crypto getting stolen from the likes of Stake and casinos like MGM obviously getting hacked. And then finally, I think we saw the UK government was under a bit of pressure to re-regulate cryptocurrency trading as gambling. But it said that that wouldn't be appropriate. And I think they were probably right to make that call, and that never materialized. But as far as knock-on effects into gambling go, I wouldn't say we've seen that many. I think crypto gambling's probably continued to grow and strengthen, and is operating almost separately to obviously the trading of the currencies and the kind of headwinds you see on the exchanges there. So, yeah, that was mine. A bit dull, really. I'll have to go more punchy in January, I think. So I can really,
that was dull. I nearly fell asleep.
That's why I'm skipping over it, putting me in the middle of you two, because yours are a bit more crunchy than that. Nico, yours, do you remember what yours was?
Yeah. So to answer your question, straight as your question has been raised, do you remember what you actually came up with by the beginning of 2023? Yes, I do. And then you had a little nod as well, note, like, but don't kind of get into this as of now. First of all, Connor, you did great for just doing as you have not been told, but it's good. Because you literally just told us about your inner struggle and how you overcame the inner struggle during being live on stage. That's good. And as said, Jake, of course, I remember what I predicted.
Good man. For those that don't remember, Nico, you basically said that one tier one operator would either be taken over or would kind of fall out of business, basically, right? I'm paraphrasing there, but that was the gist of it, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, and I have a few thoughts on this, but how do you think you did? How would you rank your performance of your prediction?
So, for sure, we've seen some of the tier one operators stumble and stumbling. The latest news is about Entain with the CEO literally being Jette Nygaard-Andersen literally being forced to step down. This is for sure a non-anticipated move from 2023. Then, of course, we've seen 888 stumbling as well. There was a little bit of an earthquake, and it would have been quite interesting if the bid of, if I'm not mistaken, DraftKings were asking for a price, or they were indicating an overtaking price as well. That would have totally matched my little guess by beginning of 2023. So we've seen some changes within the gaming industry, like we've seen in other industries as well. So that was probably a lucky guess.
Yeah, I think you've done yourself a disservice there, even, because you said especially in the US when you made the prediction. And if we look back recently, we've seen obviously Kindred pull out of the US completely. So you were correct in that regard. But also, as Connor was talking about PointsBet, like they basically were forced to withdraw or couldn't afford to keep running their US business, so sold it to Fanatics, which is basically a takeover. So yeah, I think even away from those big companies like Entain and 888, where we've obviously seen headwinds, I think you are right with the sort of small to medium players in the US market.
Exactly, and with MaximBet as well, they filed for insolvency. And once again, shout out to our friend Daniel Gretzer as well. Because the thing is, although there are rumors going around, and usually people start, you know, being harsh on someone like, yeah, I always knew they're never going to make it. First of all, if you don't try, you will never know. So once again, shout out to Daniel Gretzer. This will not change the fact that you're one of the smartest minds I ever came across in the industry.
That's fair enough indeed. But I have a feeling that was the year before, Nico, so you don't get any extra marks for that, I'm afraid, on this occasion. Right. Yeah, we touched on Entain there, obviously, who are going through a very difficult time. And this is our main topic for today's show before we round off. So just to give a bit of a recap on this, as Nico said, their chief executive, Jette Nygaard-Andersen, left her role with immediate effect on the 13th of December. She basically resigned, but that was under a hell of a lot of pressure from investors. And to just provide a little bit of context here, I think it was actually a Financial Times story that came out on the 8th of December. I think we've got the nice little featured image of it now that hopefully our producer can show you. There we go. I think it was this, to be honest with you, that made her position pretty much untenable. Thanks for that, Lorena. I'm just going to go through a couple of the main findings and kind of talking points from that now for people that aren't aware or maybe don't have a subscription. So the Financial Times interviewed more than 20 current and former Entain executives, as well as advisors and investors who had obviously talked about growing dissatisfaction with the business and its current leadership, basically. It pointed out that there's been, at the time of that article came out, there's a 40% share price dip at Entain since August. And that means that over the past 2 years, Entain was basically ranked the fourth worst in terms of stock performance out of all FTSE 100 companies for shareholder returns. So it's no wonder you've got, shareholders trying to build up a stake to kind of influence the company now. One of the top 20 institutional investors said in the piece that Jette had basically made a headlong rush into non-stop M&A and showed a lack of awareness and general understanding of the economics of the business and shareholder sentiment. So this is really a kind of no holds barred profile piece on Jette. And there was one piece that I think caught the attention of everybody was the fact that she earned a salary of £1.9 million last year, but that some staff within Entain had actually started to nickname her Private Jette because she'd basically continue to use kind of private jets to travel from London to Gibraltar and from the UK to the US. I think the most stinging part of this article, though, however, was from one top 10 shareholder at Entain, which was quoted as saying, Nygaard Andersen was only ever asking for time. She was never actually offering a solution. So there we have it. I think when that piece came out on the 8th, her days were probably numbered, and she was left in a difficult position. And like you say, Nico, there was obviously external pressures there, but she did eventually resign of her own accord. And Chairman Barry Gibson kind of paid tribute to her for at least changing Entain's corporate profile and you know, helping the business to become a lot more kind of safe and stable and sustainable than it was perhaps under previous leadership. So she's definitely done a good job in that regard when it comes to responsible gambling and things like that, I believe. So credit where it's due on that front. What I was going to say, though, is... Oh yeah, we have one graphic here as well from that Financial Times article, which shows the share price performance between Entain and arguably its biggest UK rival in Flutter. Both have dipped similarly in recent months, as you can see. But Entain has not fared well at all compared to the competition. And after so many quarters of kind of double-digit online growth and everything, the fact that she wasn't able to deliver any revenue growth in the latter half of this year, and I think Entain's guided to no revenue growth again until H2 of 2024, you can see why investors are kind of campaigning for change, basically, at the top of Entain. Thank you very much for that graphic. And Connor, moving over to you, I think we wrote another story this morning about one of these disgruntled investors that has just built up a stake in Entain. Can you tell us some more about that, please?
Yes, I can. It's been a wild story. I mean, I can't remember how you described that article in the Financial Times, but let's face it, it was an assassination. It was an absolute hit piece. And I think with all the discontent that was described in it, and there was a lot as well, not only about shareholder and investor discontent, but also managerial and structurally within the business, I think employees and managers weren't happy based on what's written in the piece. And it was kind of with the private jets thing, I think. The thing is that there are so many small elements to this. There was no sort of smoking gun. There was no huge gaffe or huge failure. It was like death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. And all those things added up. And then private Yetta was the nail in the coffin. That was it. As soon, because you know that's going to stick.
Exactly. It's a hook for people to hold on to, that, isn't it?
And the thing is about that, it doesn't even have to be true. Just someone, if someone said it to the FT, they can, you know, they can write that. And it doesn't even, that she had that nickname wouldn't even need to be true, because mud sticks. And I said to one of our colleagues, actually, when that piece first came out, which I think was only last Friday, I said, that's it. That's the beginning of the end. What I didn't predict was just how quickly that would come. And so almost immediately after the release of the article, Yetta said, right, I'm out of here. Sod you ungrateful lot. I've done my best. But yes, it was kind of eerily reminiscent of our favourite programme, Jake Succession. They had a bit in there about... being criticised for their private jet usage as well. Anyway, right. Yes.
I was just going to say, I remember when the criticism for Yetta kind of began back in the summer, didn't it, with Eminence Capital, when they put out that public statement about the STS deal. And I remember, Nico, you defended her quite strongly at the time and said that you liked the look of that deal. But there are a few more bits of M&A that really haven't gone according to plan since then. If you think about Entain's purchase of Unicorn and kind of, you know, a big public display about a pivot into esports, that kind of filtered out into nothing, and they ended up closing the B2C part of that business down. They've tried to sort of branch out into media through, I think, 365 Scores or an acquisition like that, almost like a media affiliate, and another Polish betting brand called Toto Lotek, which was acquired for $5 million. So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the biggest complaints from these investors, was that the approach to M&A has been almost careless. And Connor, can you tell us a bit more about, obviously, Corvex, who joined the party today, but I think there's some other funds there that, basically are pushing for change, as I said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the lesson learned from that is, be wary of any company that declares its enormous interest in esports and spends tens or hundreds of millions of pounds to get into that. I think there's a, I think that personally, having followed esports and gambling for the last 5 years or so, I think it, there's a great, there's a naivety in that. I think it's, there's a lot of talk around esports, and it's just that talk.
Yeah, anyway. Indeed. Didn't even need to do it, did it? That's the thing. It's like,
no, didn't need to. Focus on what you're good at. Why bother spending £50 million to try and get into a market where the your potential customers hate you and have no interest in you? It's firms like Rivalry who are like grassroots kind of esports people. Anyway, another discussion for another day. So Corvex management, yeah, I mean, there's also been criticism from a few big shareholders like Sachem Head Capital Management, Dender Capital, and P. Schoonfeld Asset Management have all kind of leveled similar criticisms at Entain and kind of been vying for a board position and this kind of thing. I think Eminence Capital were pushing for that most strongly, perhaps. Or maybe I'm confusing it with a different story. But anyway, Corvex Management today announced that they have become Entain's largest shareholder, I believe. They've acquired a stake of about 4.4%, 28 million shares, which I priced up to be something in the region of £250 million. Mega purchase. And those shares were bought the day after Jette Nygaard Andersen's resignation. So Corvex said that the resignation was a necessary first step in kind of turning the business around and back to growth, but that there is further work required. And they said they're no stranger to a strong exchange of words at Corvex Management. They said, simply put, Entain's recent performance has been unacceptable and all options must be considered to drive value. M&A klaxon, that's code for someone buy this offers now. Maybe, I don't know. We believe Entain is at a critical juncture and can benefit from the constructive engagement of a well-informed shareholder with substantial industry and company-specific experience and expertise, which I think it's fair to say Corvex Management does have. They're big in the online gambling sector. And so anyway, now that they've acquired this 4.5% stake in Entain, they're going to reach out to the chairman, Barry Gibson, and the interim CEO, Stella David, and try to be, and I quote, a helpful force for change.
That's right.
I think force being the operative word. They like things done their way. We've seen this before from Corvex Management when they took a 10% stake in Kindred Group in May 2022, and then they increased that share to 15% in August 2022, started lobbying Kindred to get a seat on their board, and then in April 2023, Kindred kind of came round to Corvex's point of view and started officially exploring strategic alternatives, looking at a sale or whatever it might be. After which two-thirds or three-quarters of the board resigned, including the CEO, Henrik Tjarnström. So Corvex are no strangers to kind of big shakeups in these companies. They want to go in there and see things done their way. Obviously, Kindred took a little bit of convincing about that, but eventually did seem to kind of play ball with what Corvex were asking for. So could well go the same way with Entain. Entain obviously are not in the strongest position to start telling their investors no, you know, because they've kind of got this, they're in a slightly weakened position, obviously. The management's in a bit of disarray now that Yetta's left. So it will be an interesting story to watch for sure and see what the impact of that Corvex investment is. I mean, can you think of any other cases where they've done this kind of thing? What are their other shareholdings? That's something I haven't had time to look into today.
No, I think you're right to point out Kindred is the obvious one. They came in and threw their weight around, and that company's transformed, as we said, like building its own sportsbook platform, withdrawn from the US, the chief executive's gone. They're still expected to finalize that review. I think they said they were pursuing a third-party transaction, so they're still trying to secure a sale, it sounds like to me. But yeah, Corvex is now the third biggest shareholder in Entain.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I must have misread that.
No, that's fine. But Nico, I think to bring it back to Yetta, who's obviously, you know, the worst affected out of everybody in all of this, is it like she had an incredibly difficult job, right? Because she basically had to balance turning Entain into a sustainable, you know, 2023 corporate entity with appropriate compliance procedures and everything. She had to deal with all of the legal ramifications of this crazy HMRC settlement that was basically dated back to when she probably hadn't even heard of the business, let alone being a board member or the chief executive. And to do all that and deliver, you know, operationally with consistent revenue growth and successful M&A is a pretty big ask, I would suggest.
Exactly. So especially if you just take a look, because by beginning of November, we already spoke about that she and Mr. Gibson, Senior Independent Director, Stella David as well, they invested into stocks of Entain as well. So why would you do this? And we're speaking about just for Jetta, she invested nearly 350 £1,000 into stock of exchange. So this usually implies like she is seeing a bright future of the stock, and that the actual stock price doesn't represent the potential as well. So this was one of the things where I was like, okay, first of all, she has faith and she keeps up the promise of making or ship turning the ship around. Then we should never forget that she was the one doing the settlement in Turkey, which cost £600 million as well. So then all other big operators, especially in Q3, you you could have seen like every stock went down. So it's not like Entain was the only stock being in trouble. So her stock was in trouble as well. But she wasn't literally being left out. She wasn't literally being outperformed by all the other big operators as well. And we should also not forget that she is dealing with big sharks as well. If you want to look up the terms of green mailing and short selling, this is the stuff that these C-levels are facing on a daily basis, where investors are using shares they actually bought by combining their short selling or by up literally like short selling or refreshing their short selling positions as well. And this is the big numbers game as well. Also, don't forget that there are always rumors going around that the joint venture with BetMGM, which they also have and hold, that MGM is eyeing to actually do a buyout as well to get rid of Entain. So, as said, she was literally fighting at different kind of war zones. And unfortunately, she came short and was let go. And just one statement on the she was letting go or she left the company on her own terms. It's pretty much the same statement of the former 888 CEO who resigned on his terms as well. Because usually you don't fire a CEO on that level anymore. You just give him the chance, like, okay, it's probably better if you resign instead of making us fire you. And this is what usually happens. I don't remember any big company where the CEO left. And even if they have been forced to leave, it was always like, okay, we decided on leaving the company and not sitting things out on the valid contract they actually have. So they still have these little bit of dignity. And I'm pretty sure I never met Jetta, to be honest, but I'm obviously a little bit of a fanboy of her. And she has been done a great job diversifying the overall portfolio. But as you already mentioned, she did not take over a shiny and well-established and awesome business. She had to deal with a lot of ongoing legal stuff as well, and she settled quite a few of them. And I'm pretty sure we should also give some, kind of kudos to her for actually dealing with this one. It wasn't easy, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, nicely wrapped up there, Nico. And obviously, we wish her the best of luck for the future. I'm sure she'll land on her feet somewhere. But what's interesting to me is who Entain turned to now. I think obviously those investors will have their own ideas about who should lead Entain in the next steps. But there's not that many candidates out there from what I can see. I think a return of Kenny Alexander's probably off the cards. Mm-hmm. After what the Gambling Commission said when he was linked with 888. But I think we're writing a piece for you on next.io about who the potential candidates might be. So keep your eyes on our news portal next week. But I think that wraps up our final stream of the year. And I'd just like to say, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to join you with these and talk about gambling news with you every week of this year. And I really appreciate your time and your efforts and your good nature. And Nico, your relentless 10 in 5 efforts to keep within 5 minutes that have never worked. But it's the thought that counts, isn't it? That's what we say at this time of year. Connor and Nico, do you want to take us out by saying a Merry Christmas and a goodbye to our faithful listeners?
Absolutely, yeah. Bogdan, Evelina, who else is in the chat there? Rajesh, I think I saw before. Thanks to you all for joining us and to everybody else who's watching. A very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you all.
Yeah.
Yeah, one final word from my end as well, because usually we don't see you, so our audience, but it was fun. Meet and greet some of you during the exhibitions, the various exhibitions, starting with ICE, then the iGaming Next. Now it's Next.io in Valletta and in New York as well. And then closing down with Sigma. And the feedback has always been very positive and hilarious. And although it seems like the three of us, sometimes Pierre joins us as well, are just doing this thing to entertain ourselves. In the end, we just want to entertain you, and your feedback is always highly appreciated. And don't back down, be not shy. As soon as you see us, just talk to us. It's all good. And as soon as you think we should make a deeper dive into some of the topics, feel free to just send us a message as well, and we will just pick it up. And as said, shout out to our audience. It's awesome what you're doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for your support. Stay tuned next year because we're going to get plenty more special guests back on the podcast. But until then, have a fantastic break, get some rest and relaxation, and a happy Christmas from everyone at next.io.
And Jake,
bye-bye.
Thanks to you.
Thanks, Connor.
Bye.
They ain't coming close to me. Flow is on atomic. I'm starting fires through poetry. The heart's out. Staying loyal, no falling out. And if you step into the court, be ready. We balling out. Yeah.